If Deebo Samuel's actions on social media this offseason were the first hints that he had issues with the 49ers, does the latest development suggest that he is now willing to work on a resolution? The 49ers' other unresolved issue pertains to quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. What does each side want, and can both sides be satisfied with the ultimate decision? And now that rosters are virtually set after free agency and the NFL draft, let's reevaluate the NFC West to see where the 49ers fit into that division against the Rams, Cardinals, and Seahawks. That and more coming up on this episode of 49ers Talk.
Welcome to another edition of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, Matt Maiocco.
I'm Matt Maiocco. She's Jennifer Lee Chan, and this is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. And Jennifer, on Saturday, checking out the coverage of the Kentucky Derby, and it got me, and I saw all these people in these like crazy outfits. And in the past, that had been on my bucket list. Kentucky Derby, Indy 500. But now I'm watching how the Kentucky Derby has just completely blown up and all these crazy outfits and how people just go all out. And now I'm wondering, I don't know if I can keep up. Like, I don't know that Kentucky Derby is on my bucket list anymore. Do you have any bucket list items?
That was one of them. Are you scared about your wardrobe?
I don't. Yes. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. When I go to a sporting event as a fan, I just want to enjoy and relax and just soak in this scene. And I guess I would if I felt really confident about my outfit.
Yeah, you'd need a hat and maybe like a pastel colored suit. It's kind of an investment there.
It is. And cigars, like fine cigars, all that. Do you have anything on your bucket item or your bucket list?
That would be one of them. Also, yeah. A Formula One race would be, I think, very exciting. Monaco would be amazing. The way they set up those races in the middle of cities and people still function when they're not actually running the race, that's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think probably I was in, when we were in Indianapolis for the combine, I went out to the Motor Speedway and took a lap around the Indy track, 2.5 miles. Did not get up to like 200 miles an hour though, but I did kiss the bricks. Not sure that that's like proper COVID protocols, but I put this out on social media and got some good responses. Daytona 500. MLB All-Star Game. I've done that one. In fact, I was at the one at the Giants ballpark. I don't know what they called it back then, but Ichiro hit an inside the park home run. So that was kind of neat. What other good ones here? A lot of people saying a 49ers Super Bowl. They'd like to go see that. French Open, Wimbledon, Final Four, Olympic swimming, Masters, all good ones. Masters, that might be a good one because you can get out there and walk the course. No cell phone though, so I wouldn't be able to take Instagram stories, so that might be a drawback.
That's one of your important parts of life, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I take a lot of pride in my Instagram stories. And by the way, follow me at Instagram, Maiocco NBCS.
Just a little plug.
Yeah, a little plug there. Hey, we're back. Speaking of Instagram, oh my goodness.
I knew you were going to segue there.
Yes. Deebo Samuel, if he signaled his dissatisfaction, for lack of a better term, with the 49ers by removing them off his social media and unfollowing the 49ers, did he signal that he's ready to kiss and make up when he started refollowing the 49ers?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily that, but I think it's maybe that, all right, I'm kind of open to maybe discussing negotiations, or, you know, the door's not closed as it was before. I mean, he definitely was upset. Maybe he's just not quite as upset. I don't think he'll be completely happy until he inks that deal.
Yeah, I think it's something where he has to know at this point that he's not going anywhere. The 49ers certainly realize that he's not going anywhere, and he's a professional football player. And the very definition of professional football player is somebody who plays football and gets paid for it. So Deebo Samuel would like to play football and get paid for it. And I think that you know, what's interesting though is the 49ers listened to teams, but no team even came close to offering them something that they wanted in return. So I wonder how Debo took that. Like, on one hand, Debo had to be thinking, man, I thought a team would have offered more for me. So maybe there's a part of him that doesn't blame the 49ers for not trading him because they didn't get a great offer for him.
Yeah, obviously the market for Debo Samuel, everybody wants to have a player like him on their team, but how much are you willing to pay for him? In that first round of the draft, the 49ers found out how much people were willing to trade for him. You'd think everybody would want to have a guy like that on their team, but there's a certain price, and it wasn't what the 49ers thought it might be, and it probably wasn't what Debo Samuel thought it was going to be either.
Yeah, and so now it's a matter of the 49ers and Debo Samuel working out, you know, a contract that works for both sides. And I'm completely confused as far as, you know, how people are judging these contracts, because, you know, when AJ Brown signed his deal with the Eagles after being traded from Tennessee, it was widely reported $25 million per year. That's obviously the agent putting that number out there, $25 million per year. So if the agent, who is also representing Debo Samuel, is saying that AJ Brown's contract is $25 million per year, it kind of makes me wonder, like, what really Debo Samuel is looking for. Because by the only way that that contract is $25 million a year is if you just disregard the first year altogether. And then with a straight face, you look at the final year where, you know, the money goes up to $30 million that he will never see, $31 million to be exact. He will never see that money. And so if that's the only way it's $25 million a year, in real life functionality, it's 19 million over three seasons. Or if they keep him for a fourth year, it'll be 18.3 million. And that's it topping out. So, I mean, with those numbers, why not just give Debo Samuel a final year of $50 million and say, hey, he's making $31 million. He's the highest paid wide receiver in the league. And the agent's happy because he can blow his horn and all that stuff. But it's the same way really with Tyreek Hill. You know, his final, the reason he's quote unquote $30 million a year is because the final year of his contract is like $42 million. So anyway, I've reported for quite some time, the 49ers are willing to make Debo Samuel a highly paid player in line with the other top wide receivers in the game. But it gets fuzzy when you actually look at like what the numbers will be other than the real numbers, you know, the real money. And I still think it's going to come in the probably the low 20s per year for Debo Samuel.
Now, Matt, do you think that because George Kittle got the highest paying contract for a tight end, Fred Warner got one of the highest paying contracts for a linebacker, do you think that Debo Samuel thinks that he needs to be in that same level of this category? Like, do you think Debo Samuel thinks he needs to be one of the highest paid wide receivers?
Oh yeah. I don't think there's any question. You know, he was a first team all pro. So yeah, I mean, he does deserve to be there. Does he deserve to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league? I don't think so. And, you know, George Kittle now 2 years later is still the highest paid tight end. Fred Warner was pretty briefly the highest paid linebacker. And then Darius Leonard jumped over him. But, you know, other than Jimmy Garoppolo, he's going to be the highest paid player on the team, Debo Samuel will, because I think, you know, his contract will exceed both George Kittle and Fred Warner. So he'll get paid. There's no question about it. The issue though is, you know, how much do the 49ers want to play hardball? Because they have the leverage in this. They want Debo Samuel to be happy. There's no question they do. But for a good portion of this offseason, Debo Samuel hasn't been happy for whatever reasons. So they want a fair contract for him, But they also know that he's under contract for this season. They would hold his rights for two more years with the franchise tags, but they don't want that to, I mean, I just can't see a scenario where he plays this season without a new contract. And that new contract has to be something that's agreed upon from both sides. So he is in line for a significant pay bump up, you know, 5-6 times more than what he's making now. So I see it happening, and I don't see any other alternative.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, he's got another year on this contract. They can franchise tag him. So there really is nowhere for him to go unless another team decides that they all of a sudden want to give up more draft capital next year or some sort of trade, but I just don't see it happening either.
Yeah. But I think if you're the 49ers, if you're going to remove Deebo Samuel from your 2022 roster, you want something significant in return that helps you now. I mean, the 49ers are not, well, I was going to say, you know, they're not building for the future. They're building for now. They need to win now. I say that, but then also in the back of my mind, I'm thinking they have a quarterback who's going to be there theoretically a long time. So that window should be open for a long time. But if you take the best offensive player off your team, you know, the reason that it could have happened day one of the draft is because they could have gotten somebody else to go in there and potentially, you know, not take necessarily Deebo Samuel's spot, but they could have drafted a wide receiver who could be a starter year one, and then you keep moving along. But at this point, anything you're going to get in return would help you for the 2023 season, you know, short of them trading player for player or players for a player. Any trade they make would be for a first rounder a year from now, and that doesn't help them in 2022. And speaking of 2022 and the quarterback situation, you know, just like the Deebo Samuel situation, it's not going away anytime soon until they sign that new deal for him. The Jimmy Garoppolo situation is just, it continues to fascinate me because I just don't know how it's going to turn out. And Mike Florio over at Pro Football Talk wrote something that I do agree with. Generally, what he was saying was that basically what he was saying is that the 49ers are going to do what's best for their organization as it relates to Jimmy Garoppolo. And he said, if that's waiting for Garoppolo to get healthy and to see if any trade situations materialize, you know, that's what the team needs to do. And if nothing materializes on that front and Trey Lance wins a starting job or is the starter, as we would all expect him to be the starter to open the 2022 season, the 49ers would then approach Garoppolo about taking a pretty dramatic pay cut. And if he declines, they would release him. And all that would happen in training camp. I mean, all that would happen like basically right before the start of the regular season. And that's not what Jimmy Garoppolo would like. I'm not sure there's going to be a competition. I mean, listening to Kyle Shanahan, listening to John Lynch, they have both said that they believe that Trey Lance is ready to be the starter. And there's been no indication from anybody inside the building that Trey Lance isn't ready. So all signs point to this being the year that Trey Lance takes over. So Jimmy Garoppolo right now is twisting in the wind, not knowing where he's going to be, if the 49ers want him. They want him, I'm sure, but they would want him at the right price. Or even, I'll ask you. I mean, you know these people. Do you think the 49ers would want Jimmy Garoppolo as the backup with everything that comes along with that? And I mean, heck, he just said that the season that he experienced in 2021, he wouldn't wish on his worst enemy because it was so difficult. So do the 49ers want to redo that and have the roles changed of Trey Lance as the starter and Jimmy as the backup? I just don't know what that would, how that would play inside the locker room.
Yeah. I can't see the 49ers wanting that. I can't see Jimmy Garoppolo wanting that. Now, I don't think he wants to be released and lose $25 million, but I mean, he's done so much in being, you know, the quote unquote good guy, not being like Ryan Tannehill saying, it's not my job to mentor anybody. Trey Lance spoke about how great Jimmy Garoppolo was and how they'll be friends for life. But I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo wants to go through that again. It was awkward. It was uncomfortable. He handled it really well, but I don't think that's anything anyone wants to go through for another season.
Yeah. And I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo would love to get that $25.5 million, but if he's the backup, why would the 49ers even think about paying him $25 million? And you know, why would any team trade for Garoppolo and pay him $25 million when, I almost look at the teams that would be interested in Garoppolo would only be interested in him as a backup or an insurance policy. And who's going to pay a backup $25.5 million? And then the other teams without starting quarterbacks, there's a part of me that thinks that those teams, such as Seattle, Carolina, are in better shape if they don't get real good quarterback play this season. And you know where I'm going with that. It's because
I absolutely do, because the class of 2023, that quarterback's class is very good. So if they give up, I don't know if you want to say tank for the season, but if they don't play well this season, then they'll have a higher draft pick. They can go get one of those guys in 2023.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways, I think it's kind of like the 49ers in 2017, where, you know, they went out in the offseason and they got Brian Hoyer as their starter, and they got late in round three, CJ Beathard to be their backup. And so what they were basically saying was, let's try to build out the rest of our roster, not make any big investments in the quarterback position, and then next year they'll address the quarterback position. And that was either going to be through the draft, or their grand plan was Kirk Cousins as a free agent. So they totally pushed off that whole quarterback building or quarterback acquisition until Jimmy Garoppolo just fell in their lap at the midpoint of the 2017 season. So I would think that's why I just look at this. It's been amazing to me, because I still think if Garoppolo had not been injured late in the season, he would be a starter somewhere. He'd be in that team's offseason program. This would have been a clean split. 49ers would be speaking highly of Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo would be speaking highly of the 49ers and how they handled the whole situation. And now what's setting up here is, you know, kind of reading between the lines, the 49ers have continued to talk very glowingly of Jimmy Garoppolo, but they were caught off guard when he opted for that surgery. And so my guess is, nobody has said it publicly, but my guess is they're not real pleased with how he handled that. And then depending on how the 49ers handle this situation with Garoppolo and Trey Lance and heck, and Nate Sudfeld, that Jimmy stands to be hurt in how they handle it by not giving him the best opportunity of landing on his feet by holding on to him well into training camp.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for timing is everything, isn't it? I mean, the timing of his shoulder injury and then the surgery changed really the whole path of his career for 2022. And who knows what'll happen in 2023.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of look at it like, you know, Mitchell Trubisky took a backup role 1 year to become, or to have an opportunity to be the starter with Pittsburgh this year. Marcus Mariota kind of went in reverse, or at least, you know, shifted that thing into neutral for a couple of years with the Raiders in order to have an opportunity with the Falcons. And that might be what Jimmy Garoppolo has to do, kind of rebuild his stock. Hey, we're going to look ahead to the 2022 season as it pertains specifically to the NFC West. And before we get there, I just wanted to point out some odds on PointsBet. And these are the odds for the NFC West. The Rams are the favorite to win the NFC West, and their odds are +125. And then the 49ers are second at +190. And then a little bit of a distance there, and the Cardinals come in third at plus 325, and Seattle a distant fourth at plus 1200. So those are how PointsBet ranks the odds for the NFC West. And then just for the Super Bowl, the top three teams are Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, and then tied are the Packers and the Rams. And then these three teams have the same odds for the Super Bowl: 49ers, Chargers, Broncos, and Cowboys. So that's where we're going to kind of leave off this segment, talking about where the 49ers, where the perception is, where they are in the NFL from the odds makers. Second in the NFC West, and what, about 10th? About tied for 10th as far as odds to win the Super Bowl. And when we come back, Jennifer and I are going to be talking about the rest of the NFC West and where the 49ers fit into all of that.
Now through May 30th at your locally owned Big O Tires, buy three, get one free on select Mesa and Cooper brand tires with installation purchase. Plus, save an additional $50 when using your Big O credit card. See participating store for details and find additional cash saving offers at BigOTires.com.
All right, we are back on 49ers Talk. I'm Matt Maiocco with Jennifer Lee Chan. And Jennifer, let's just open it up. NFC West, what do you think of the division, and where do the 49ers fit into that mix?
I think they're right up in it where they have been. They didn't have any splashy draft picks, but they held on to a lot of guys. And I think they also added some value picks in the draft. I think one thing that they really did well is add some speed. They added it with Danny Gray as a wide receiver. They also added it with Tariq Castro Fields as cornerback, and free agency, Charvarius Ward. So cornerback was one of their kind of weak spots last year. They added some depth there. And also, we talked about it in the last podcast, Jason Verrett is back, just kind of a bonus guy who is such a great player. So while the 49ers didn't have like big, huge marquee signings because they've got so many players already on their team, I think they added some depth and some key players that are going to contribute this year.
Yeah, I mean, I would even look at, you mentioned Jason Verrett. You know, Tarvarius Moore is back this season after missing all of last year. And I almost put Javon Kinlaw in that mix too, of a guy that they really didn't have last year, who seems to be very much on the mend and could make an impact. So the 49ers finished third place in the NFC West last season with a 10-7 record. They lost to the Rams in the NFC Championship game, of course. And so let's take a look at the Rams. 12-5, first place in the division, Super Bowl champs, and their additions, Bobby Wagner, 32-year-old Bobby Wagner, comes over from Seattle, and then Allen Robinson, wide receiver, coming over from Chicago. But their subtractions are pretty significant. Von Miller, who they picked up in that midseason trade, signs with the Bills. Robert Woods goes to the Titans. Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle, retires. Cornerback Darius Williams signs with the Jaguars. They lose another offensive lineman. Austin Corbett goes to the Panthers, and Sebastian Joseph Day goes to the Chargers. And when you look at the draft, because they've sent a lot of those top picks elsewhere, their number one pick, they only had one pick in the first 2 days. They got Logan Bruss, a guard from Wisconsin. So what do you think about the Rams offseason?
I don't think it could have done that much more. I mean, they didn't have any draft capital. How much more can they spend? I know 49ers fans on social media are like, how many more players can they sign? How much money can they spend and still not get in trouble with the salary cap? So I know there's manipulation of contracts. They can pay or have it on the books where players are making less and they have those bigger balloon payments towards the end of their contract. But it seems like they just keep adding players, veterans that are really expensive, and they keep adding them to their roster.
Okay. So the 49ers, the Rams, we got the Arizona Cardinals, a team that started last season so well. They finished with an 11-6 record, second place in the division, got crushed by the Rams in the wild card game. DeAndre Hopkins is going to miss 6 games with a suspension for violating the league's policy on performance enhancing substances. They add Hollywood Brown, a wide receiver, in a trade on the, from the draft with the Ravens. They have some big losses. Their biggest loss was defensive end Chandler Jones. He had 10 and a half sacks last season. And, you know, when you consider that JJ Watt is a guy that has not stayed healthy, I mean, four of the past 6 years, he's missed at least half of the season. So at his age, he seems to be kind of breaking down and can't stay on the field. They also lost linebacker Jordan Hicks, and wide receiver Christian Kirk signs that big money deal with the Jaguars. They also did not have a first round pick. Their first few picks, I thought, were pretty good guys that could come in and help right away. Trey McBride from Colorado State, he's a tight end. And then they had two picks in the third round. It kind of shows you where they think their weakness is, and that's defensive end. They went with Cameron Thomas from San Diego State and Myjai Sanders from Cincinnati, two edge rushers. So, yeah, I guess, to me, though, the biggest thing about their offseason is Kyler Murray and the weirdness that we all saw coming a year ago with Russell Wilson. You know, last year when we were, when Laura and I were talking about the NFC West, Laura and I both agreed just the weirdness with the Seahawks and Russell Wilson was going to have a major impact. We both picked Seattle to finish fourth in the division. Well, I don't think I'm going to pick the Cardinals to finish fourth in the NFC West only because Seattle no longer has a Russell Wilson. But I think just the weirdness with the Cardinals does not bode well for that team improving this year.
Yeah. And I know the Niners are going to play the Cardinals with DeAndre Hopkins at least one game, because he'll be back by the time they play in Mexico City in November. But they're hoping that the Niners play the Cardinals in those first 6 weeks where he is not on the field. Now, because the combination of Hollywood Brown and DeAndre Hopkins on the field, that's going to be a challenge for the 49ers secondary. It's going to be a challenge for anybody's secondary facing both those two guys at the same time. But I also think you're right. The chemistry with Kyler Murray and the rest of the players on the team, how does that work out after he said, basically he shunned the team and said, you know, this is not where I want to be, not in those words, but by his actions on social media. So yeah, I don't know how that works out, because a similar thing happened with Seattle. Russell Wilson was not happy there. How does that change the chemistry with the team?
And I think it does, right? I mean, when it's, you know, it's one thing, and it's been disappointing for the 49ers. You know, Kyle Shanahan said it. I mean, he said it flat out that he was surprised that Debo Samuel wasn't happy and requested a trade. But it's one thing if it's the wide receiver, and a different thing if it's the quarterback. You know, and so that's why I just thought it was weird last year with Russell Wilson. And, you know, Seattle isn't as good as they were back in the glory days, but still, I think that had some impact. And I expect this to have an impact. I mean, the Cardinals, it sure sounds like they don't want to pay Kyler Murray the big money deal that Kyler Murray and his agent believe he should get paid, because they want to see him prove it. You know, they want him to be a better player than he was last season. And I don't know that we've really seen all that much improvement from Kyler Murray. He's an incredibly talented player. He throws that ball really well. He can make plays with his legs, but I don't know that he's a guy that defenses fear as much as they probably should, until he takes his passing game and his understanding of defenses and his offense and everything else. I mean, he can be a transcendent talent, but I just don't know that he's made the improvements that the Cardinals have wanted to see from him. And until he does, it's going to be a weird situation in Arizona. I mean, do you fully commit to a guy when there are clearly within that organization some questions about whether he has what it takes to be a championship level quarterback for a long time?
I think it's so interesting too, with Kyler Murray and his history with Cliff Kingsbury, you'd think that there would be a little bit better understanding of each other, less conflict. It was surprising when I saw that Kyler was unhappy with the team.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, there's, I think that the NFC West looks a lot different in my eyes this year than it did a year ago. And that is a theme. We asked for some questions on social media, and we will talk about how we think the division shapes up right after this word.
Win a Lexus, cash, and more this month at Graton Resort and Casino. Play to enter the $300,000 Drive Away in Luxury Lexus and Cash giveaway on April 29th, where you could win a Lexus. Plus, more ways to win than anywhere else. Multiplier Wednesdays get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays turn points into slot play. And win up to $15,000 in the Good Fortune slot tournaments. Learn more at GratonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
All right, we're back on 49ers Talk. Matt Maielko with Jennifer Lee Chan. And so we did ask some for some questions on Twitter as it relates to the NFC West. And the first one comes in from Dominic, who says, or asked, do you think the Seahawks will be the 49ers' nemesis without Russell Wilson? And he's chiming in from Germany. So hello, Germany. 49ers and the Seahawks, the dynamics without Russell Wilson, I say that 49ers and Seahawks will always be a rivalry because of the fan bases, but there was a stretch there, a very long stretch, where the Seahawks dominated the rivalry, and it still remained a rivalry, right? I mean, when the 49ers were not competitive, 49er fans still considered it a rivalry. And I think the Seahawks fans still considered it a rivalry. So Now I think the shoe's on the other foot. And I just don't see Seattle being competitive for a while, you know, for as long as they have Geno Smith and Drew Lock as their quarterbacks. I don't see them being competitive with the 49ers, but will it still be a rivalry? Absolutely.
I think one thing that's interesting about what Seattle is doing right now is very similar to what the Niners did in 2017. We talked about it, how they are building a team that's going to be ready for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So when they do get one, it's going to be a better team. I think it's really interesting that the Seahawks took 2 offensive linemen this year when they hadn't done it in so long. You know, you want to protect your franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson said he was unhappy when he was there. That's why he orchestrated this trade to the Denver Broncos. And what happens when he leaves? They get offensive linemen. Kind of interesting.
That's great. That's a great point. Yeah. And I mean, they took Charles Cross, a tackle from Mississippi State in the first round at number 9 overall. They took another tackle, Abraham Lucas from Washington State in the 3rd round. But I almost think that they became too reliant on Russell Wilson. Like, oh, we don't need to invest in the offensive line because he'll just run around and it doesn't matter. He'll cover up for the offensive line. They also took, you know, an edge rusher, Boye Mafe from Minnesota, and they took 2 defensive backs in the 4th and 5th round. So it's almost like they're trying to rebuild maybe the Legion of Boom a little bit, investing in the secondary and also getting the offensive line into a position where whenever their next long-term quarterback comes in, that guy's going to be protected for a while. So that's it. Maybe I misread the question too, but the nemesis. So maybe what Dominic is asking will the 49ers finally be able to beat the Seattle Seahawks? And I think my answer is yes. I mean, I think that when division rivals get together, you know, strange things can happen. The Seattle Seahawks beat the 49ers twice last season. Both of those games, the 49ers special teams were god awful. And the 49ers lost to the Cardinals twice. And then they beat the Rams twice in the regular season. So I would think that this year, if the 49ers should be looking for the sweep of Seattle and the Cardinals, but settle for 3 of 4. If they split with those 2 teams, that's a net negative for the 49ers.
Another interesting thing that the Seahawks did that's kind of similar to the Niners is drafting a running back. Now, they went through the same injury issues last year as the Niners did in that running back's room. They had Adrian Peterson on their roster for a game. So I know we went through a lot of the different running backs that the 49ers signed in the last podcast. The Seahawks did kind of the same thing, bringing in new guys, and they added to their backfield this year. And they picked up Kyren Williams from Notre Dame, really good running back, also a pass catcher and good in pass protection. So they added a little depth there, a little talent in the running backs room, something that the Niners did as well.
Okay. So I'm going to list off three questions here in a row, because they're all kind of similar. With the moves made this offseason from all four teams, how do you see the division stacking up? That comes from Tall Skinny Ben. Rob McCoy asks, which NFC West team improved the most this offseason? And then he says, hint, it's not Seattle. And then Luis Martinez asks, are the 49ers the third most talented team in the division? And actually, there's another one, too, that I saw. Is the NFC West still the best division in football? Seattle on rebuild, the Cardinals and Rams still up there. And that comes from Darwin DeLeon. So here's what I think. I think that the NFC West is not the best division in football on paper anyway. I think that's clearly the AFC West. The AFC West was pretty good last year, and it's a heck of a lot better right now. I think, and again, just on paper, I think all the teams in the division took a pretty clear step back, except for, and I don't want to sound like a homer here, but there's a chance that the 49ers made improvements because of their defensive backfield, but it all is contingent on Trey Lance, you know, how he plays, you know, the kind of production they get out of the quarterback position is going to determine that. But I think the Rams lost a lot of key guys. Yes, they added Bobby Wagner and Allen Robinson. But I think all the guys they lost pushes them back a notch. So I think that just you looking at it globally, NFC West, I say each of the NFC West teams is not as good as they were a year ago.
I would agree with that assessment. The Niners, I don't think, took a huge step back. I think,
and you can make, I think you could make the argument they are better, but mm-hmm. a lot of it is leap of faith stuff, right? It's the leap of faith that, that they solved everything they needed to solve at the cornerback position. It's that Aaron Banks steps in and keeps the 49ers offense rolling without Laken Tomlinson. It's Javon Kinlaw remains healthy. It's Trey Lance is the guy that they picked number three overall who makes a big time contribution. So I think the 49ers could conceivably be better than they were a year ago. But in order to say that in May, you kind of have to take a leap of faith.
I think one thing that the 49ers did really well this offseason is add to their special teams. It was a challenge last year, and this time I think it was a focus. Not only did they change their special teams coordinator, they added Ray McCloud, Oren Burks, and George Odom. So those are three key additions to the special teams that will really help them out, and there are three phases to the game.
Do you really think there are three phases to the game, or is there like two and a half?
Yeah, I think it's two and a half.
Okay.
But that's what they all say. I'm going with what they all say, which is three. So, but really it's,
no,
I think it's two and a half.
Well, you know what? I mean, you look at it, and because I just mentioned earlier how they lost those games to Seattle mm-hmm. because of special teams. Anybody in Green Bay,
yes,
who watched them play last season and especially watched them against the 49ers in the playoffs will tell you that, yeah, the Packers offense wasn't great that game. 49ers defense was really good. The Packers defense was pretty darn good. And what swung it was special teams.
It is. It can really change a game. So
yeah,
we did strengthen that.
Okay. So you're right. It's three, three phases, not two and a half. We're not going to diminish the efforts of those special teamers. Even though I really tried, didn't I? Okay, so here's another one. And I love this question. How do the Rams afford all these players and stay under the cap? And that's from Pony Boy. I think it's a myth that the Rams are adding all these players. It's not a myth that they remain under the cap, because that's an NFL rule. But I mean, we went through all the players that they lost, and yes, they added Bobby Wagner and Allen Robinson, but they lost a lot of players. And I listed those players earlier. Right now, if you look at the big price guys they have on the team, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Cooper Kupp, those guys are all around 20 million on the salary cap. Donald and Ramsey are above 20 million, Kupp a little bit below it. And then Matthew Stafford checks in at 13.5 million on the cap. The way they structured Bobby Wagner and Allen Robinson's contracts, pretty low hits on the cap this year, and then they both jump up next year. But you know, I think the difference is that in many of those cases, those guys are coming in from outside the organization. So I think people like recognize, like, oh my gosh, they just traded for Jalen Ramsey, they just traded for Matthew Stafford, they just signed Bobby Wagner, they just signed Allen Robinson. And if you look at the 49ers have a lot of high priced players too. Trent Williams, Jimmy Ward, Mike McGlinchey, Nick Bosa is highly paid and will get even more highly paid. Fred Warner, George Kittle. And so the difference is the 49ers have drafted pretty well and retained their guys. I mean, they did trade for Trent Williams, of course, but then he was there on a one-year contract and they re-signed him. So I just think it's kind of a myth that the Rams have all these high-priced players and where's this money coming from? And oh my goodness, but they've had to make some difficult cap decisions. And so I just think that the 49ers have just as many high priced players, if not more, than the Rams. But clearly how the Rams have structured things is that they've pretty much wiped out their middle class. They have very highly paid players, and then they really don't have that middle class of players, making whatever, 4 to 8 million. And then they have guys on minimum contracts. So that's where the difference has been with the Rams and the 49ers. Ultimately, people could say, yeah, the Rams system has worked because they won the Super Bowl. And I would tell you that the only reason the Rams won the Super Bowl last year, well, not the only reason, but a big reason, the thing that pushed them over the top, is that the Detroit Lions handed them that Super Bowl by giving away Matthew Stafford, because the Rams don't win that Super Bowl unless they make that change at quarterback.
I think one thing the Rams are missing, they do have Bobby Wagner there, but along that defensive line, they have a lot of key players there. Secondary, they have a lot of key players, but there's that second level. Bobby Wagner's great. He's a little bit older, but the way the 49ers match up well with them is because they have so many guys, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Elijah Mitchell, who get past that first level. That second level is a little bit softer. You have guys that have a ton of talent at getting yards after catch. That's where they actually can exploit the Rams, in that middle area, that soft spot. So that's where the 49ers match up well with the Rams.
I think it's going to be the Rams and the 49ers again. And we'll see. Maybe the Cardinals will surprise me. But there is a question here. What's the Rams' biggest weakness? And you mentioned this. This comes from Brian. He says, is it in the middle of the defense? But did they solve that with Bobby Wagner there now? And, when you look a year ago, the 49ers had really kind of focused in on Troy Reader in the middle of that Rams defense as a weakness. So now Bobby Wagner takes over for him. The other linebackers are Ernest Jones. He was basically a special teams guy until about middle of the year and moved into the starting lineup. And then outside linebacker, Justin Holland. So is that kind of where you put it? The inside linebackers, or the linebackers as a whole, as being the weakness?
I think so. Yes. I think, Bobby Wagner is really good, but he can't be side to side. I mean, he can't play the entire field in that middle area. So when you get guys that can run after catch that need more than one guy to tackle them, which Debo Samuel, George Kittle fall into that category, I think that's where the outmatching is between the Niners and the Rams.
So I think my first thought was offensive line for the Rams, because they're going to be, you know, Andrew Whitworth, a guy who's been there at left tackle for a long time. He's gone. Austin Corbett, the right guard, he's gone. Stepping in at left tackle is Joseph Noteboom. So that to me is an issue for them. The rookie that I mentioned earlier, Logan Bruss, maybe he takes over at guard. So that would be one area. Another area I think is edge rusher. You know, when you look at Leonard Floyd's very good, but and you can move Aaron Donald anywhere you need him, but losing Von Miller, I think that defense really took off late last season with Von Miller, and especially in the NFC Championship game, when they're able to put those guys out there, it really affect the quarterback with the pressure coming from a lot of different ways. So to me, those are kind of the spots where the Rams are a little bit susceptible. And I'd even maybe say cornerback too, other than Jalen Ramsey, that other spot is a little bit up in the air. They added Troy Hill, who had been with the Rams. They added him in a draft day trade from Cleveland. He had just signed Cleveland for 1 year, actually a multi-year deal, but they got rid of him after 1 year. And so, I'm trying to think, like, we named quite a few positions where the Rams maybe aren't as good as they were a year ago. I guess the only position for the 49ers, well, I mean, I guess quarterback, because you don't know until you know. And then I'd say right now, safety, you know, their linebackers are top notch. Their defensive line is good. I think their offensive line is pretty good, although there are some questions there with how things are going to shake out with Alex Mack. Receivers are better, I think, than they were a year ago, assuming all is good with Debo Samuel. I'd say that the safety position, you know, Jimmy Ward, no question about him. But not only is there a question with the other starting safety, but, you know, depth becomes an issue there as well.
Yeah, they did well with the cornerbacks, and safety is that one position. And yes, I think it's there, safety and interior offensive line. So they also need those guys that they picked up last year, Ambry Thomas, Diaminor Lenore, and then also at safety, Talanoa Hufanga. If those guys progress in their second season, like they should, if they continue that upward trajectory, that growth, that'll help the 49ers defense. Absolutely.
All right. Well, it's never the off season here as we talk 49ers and the NFC West. And we have a great off season event coming up. Dwight Clark Legacy event, June 1st at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek. Bryant Young, Terrell Owens, Steve Young, Charles Haley, John Lynch, Patrick Willis, Eric Armstead. It's going to be great. All proceeds go to the Golden Heart Fund. Tickets are $87 a piece for number 87. Goes to a great cause. And check out all the ticket information at DwightClarkAward.com.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.